Let's turn to the book of Jude tonight and stand in reverence to the Word of God. Thank you for coming. I want to read a few verses here tonight. I don't know how far we'll get. Just try to mind the Lord. In the book of Jude, the Bible said in verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." You can be seated. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you tonight for our precious people. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, the good singing we've heard tonight, Lord, the congregation, the choir, the special. Lord, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to come to God's house and find God at home. It's wonderful, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd honor us tonight with your presence. Honor us with your power. Help us, Lord, as we go out this week in a world, Lord, it's not just cold temperature-wise out in the world. Lord, it's cold spiritual-wise. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. We began preaching this morning out of the book of Jude, and several were involved in other ministries. Brother Steve was away preaching to children's church workers, so just for their sake especially, and then we have visitors tonight, I'll review just a little bit. What we began preaching on was the fire. Just call it the fire, pulling them out or pushing them in. The Word of God said right here, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And so we began this morning talking about over there in the first few verses, first couple of verses, he says grace and peace and mercy, I believe it was mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. So we said this morning that just starting the message off that we're pulling when we're multiplying the grace of God and the peace of God, the love of God and the mercy of God, but we're pushing when we're dividing. And that's why the enemy wants to divide. You want to know why all these marriages are ending up in trouble? It's because there's an enemy. Say amen. That wants to push apart and wants to divide. I just don't believe. I believe a home would be all right as long as love was being multiplied. In other words, Miss Eve and I aren't supposed to love each other like we did the day we got married. We're supposed to love each other so much more. It should be multiplied. How many believes that? Say amen. And I believe that way among the children of God. It doesn't happen that way sometimes. Sometimes, just for example, a church gets a pastor and they say, well, after a year, the honeymoon's over. I tell you what, the more time we spend together, if God's having his way, I ought to love you more and more. And you ought to love me more and more. And we ought to love one another more and more. Especially as we see each other's burdens and see the burdens that each family's carrying. It ought to help us, amen, along the way. So we pull by multiplying, but we push by dividing. I gave the illustration this morning, just like somebody being on the edge. And I tell you, there's a lot of people in the world on the edge. All it's going to take is somebody in kindness and love to just pull a little bit on them, and they'll come to Jesus. And then on the other hand, all it's going to take is somebody that's not sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And a lot of those beloved people that'll never be back in church are not going to not come back to church because of what happened in the bar room. They're not coming back to church because of what happened in the church house. How many believes I'm telling the truth? Because something a preacher said or something somebody done or something they heard or they saw. And I'll just say this, that's the grace of God that it's not you and not me that's out there in the cold tonight. Amen. It's the grace of the living God. And then the second thing we said this morning, I'm just reviewing a little bit, was we pull by contending. The Word of God said there in verse number 3, earnestly contend for the faith. Brother Steve, I never thought about this before. But really, when we start compromising as God's men and as God's people, if we're not careful, we're no longer pulling people out of the fire, but we're pushing them into the fire. One of the things that I tried to make plain this morning, and I believe this is important, and that is this. There's no neutral place. Everybody's standing somewhere. You can't stand neutral. Amen. Jesus said, we're either gathering into his sheepfold or we're scattering abroad. The fence straddling preaching, it makes, I guess, for good preaching for men's ears, but you can't find it in the Bible. You're in one field or the other. You're either in the Lord's field or you're in the devil's field. Amen. And I will say this. Let me just say this. I believe there are times when somebody that's in the devil's field acts like they're in the Lord's field. And I believe there are times when there's somebody that's in the Lord's field, help me, acts like they're in the devil's field. Somebody help me tonight. We just need to be careful with what we say, what we do. I gave an illustration this morning, I'll not repeat that, of a man that was saved because he went around the community asking if that preacher was real that he had listened to. And he couldn't find anything negative, Brother Steve. They kept telling him that man's the same Monday as he is Sunday. He's the real deal. He went back to church and couldn't wait on the invitation to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. So we pull by contending. We need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I'm not interested in compromising. Amen. I'm not interested in compromising the truths of God's word. It's still the blood that saves from sin. You still have to be born again to be saved from sin. It's still a work, a spiritual work, amen. And I appreciate the Lord and him doing that. The Bible talks about there are those that are denying the only Lord God. They're trying to say there's more than one way to heaven, but I say there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in America, we better wake up. I mentioned this morning, beloved, listen, when you've got people, I'm talking about openly cursing and calling the president ugly names, that we would take a belt to our children for repeating that language. If you're a parent at all, you would say amen. And when you start swearing them in on the Quran, the Bible ain't good enough in it. This is the United States of America. And beloved, I tell you what, I'm not against people coming here, but I believe people that come here ought to love that Constitution and the way this thing was set up. But I'm telling you tonight on the authority of the Word of God, there are enemies that are here not to build up, but to tear down what God has done. Amen. The third thing I want to give you tonight, we're talking about the fire, pulling them out or pushing them in. The third thing I want to say is we pull by remembering and we push by forgetting. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Look with me at verse number 5. The Word of God said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people, isn't that something, Brother Ralph? We sung that song tonight. Having saved the people out of the land of Egypt. You know, I ain't done that, don't you? By the blood, they were delivered. Amen. And the Word of God said here, they saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I just want to say tonight, thirdly in the message, what happens, beloved, those who are interested in pulling people out of the fire are those that remember there's a judgment day coming. And you get going through this world and you kind of get to just forgetting about the things of God, forgetting about, I had a lady tell me one time, she said, you preach too much about the hereafter and not enough about the here. I looked at that woman and I said, let me tell you something. The hereafter is a whole lot longer than the here. Say amen. And I tell you what's really important is not the here. Help me tonight. I'm telling you, there's a judgment day and there's eternal fire awaiting those, beloved, that leave this world without the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe as long as we remember that, we remember, you know, over there in the land of Egypt, God brought him out. He brought him out miraculously. Pharaoh let him go. Pharaoh changed his mind, backed him up against the Red Sea. God parted the water. How in the world anybody could go through just those two events and not trust God and not believe God for everything they needed after that, I'll never know. Amen. But they got over there in the wilderness and God, they sent spies down there, beloved, listen, and they, Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can take it. God's given it to us. And the other 10 spies said, oh no, there's giants in the land. We can't do it. I'll tell you, beloved, listen, it just come back to my heart, Brother Steve, we're well able. Amen. We can do what God wants us to do. Amen. But it takes believing God and remembering, beloved, listen, if we don't do the pulling, who is going to do the pulling? If we're not pulling them out of the fire, you think Washington, D.C. is interested in pulling them out of the fire? You think, beloved, listen, the false religions are interested in pulling them out of the fire? No, sir, they don't even believe there is a fire. Half of them, amen. But you and I need to remember that our God is eternal. And there's an eternal fire and an eternal vengeance waiting on those that believe not. I believe that would get us interested in pulling them out of the fire. I look at my grandchildren from time to time. I love my grandchildren. I'll tell you what, I can just look at them and melt. I saw a little plaque a while back. It said, grandparents, so easy to operate, even a child can do it. Amen. My heart melts when I look at my grandchildren. But I tell you, every once in a while, I look at them in a different way than just looking at them. And I realize it'd be better they never been born into this world than to grow up and leave this world without Jesus. It'd be better I never had a grandchild. It'd be better I never had a youngin than for them to just grow up and leave this world without Jesus. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but the average church has forgot what's being taught right here in these verses. That's why there's no mission program. That's why there's no outreach program. That's why they're not picking up the kids and bringing them to Sunday school and children's church. They just have forgotten, beloved, that there's a day coming. Not only will lost people stand before God, beloved, in their sin, but God's people are going to stand before God and give an account of what they've done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What the Word of God teaches tonight. Look here tonight. The Bible said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. Watch this now. When you read that language, what's it sound like? Jude is saying, you once knew it, but you forgot all about it. You know what I believe in America? I believe to a large degree there's a gospel hardening that has gone on in America. Not only among sinners, Brother Rose, but I believe among the saints of God. I tell you, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I believe tonight if God cut us a hole the size of that tissue box right there and let us get down on one knee or both knees and look down into hell tonight, I believe it would change us. I believe we'd get in the pulling business. I believe we'd want to be real careful what we said and where we went and what we spent our time doing. Say amen tonight. I believe we'd want to be pulling them out of the fire. I believe really that we would, if we look down in there for just a moment tonight, I believe, listen, if it were possible, we'd want to reach down in there and get somebody and pull them out of that mess. Amen. Once you go there, it's too late. Can't pull them out after they get there. We got to be pulling while they're living. We got to be, my friend, doing what we can to get them to Christ. Now listen, you have to be careful. When you preach along these lines, I'm not leaving God out of this. Listen to me. God has to do the work. But you know what? God uses workers. God uses laborers. The Bible said we're laborers together with God. It's not me over here pulling by myself, and it's not God over here pulling by himself. Somebody help me tonight. But God said, I've saved me a church. I've got a bride. I've got a light in the world. I've got some salt in the world. And I want that light and that salt about my business. Pulling people out of the fire. I will say this tonight. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I would we could see more people saved than we're seeing saved. But I will say this tonight. If I had to preach 50 years to see one pulled out of the fire, it'd be worth it all. Brother Thurman, if we just had to be a good neighbor for 50 years just to see one pulled out of the fire, it'd be worth it all. Be a good witness for 50 years. Just to see one pulled out of the fire, it'd be worth it all. I believe that tonight. What shall a man give? What shall a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? I say this tonight. When you and I were created in our mother's womb, I see I even went back further than birth, and I did that on purpose. Say amen. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. He had his eye on us before we ever got here. Somebody help me. But I'm going to tell you something. God gave us all something that's precious. It's a soul. That soul was going to be somewhere forever. Somewhere forever. It's going to be in eternity. Either in the presence of God, or it's going to be in eternity in the absence of the presence of God, tormented. I didn't realize, really, how much Jude is putting the emphasis here on the fire. He said in the end of the book, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. But he said here, there's people that come out of Egypt. You once knew it. The Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. You remember, beloved, all those that were, I think it was the age of war. Is that right? Is that about 20, Brother Brian? I don't know where that figure comes to my mind. But those in the wilderness that didn't believe God, I believe it was about the age of 20. They were old enough to go to war. Every one of them died in the wilderness. The only ones that went over that were of that age were Joshua and Caleb. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe God used Joshua, and I believe God used Caleb. You read the book of Joshua. Joshua in the end in chapter 24 said, choose you this day. I believe God used Joshua. I believe God used Caleb to pull a whole lot of people out of that fire. You say, preacher, how did them people get saved in the Old Testament? I'll tell you what they did. They believed God, and it was counted unto them for righteousness. That's what the Word of God said. Say amen. Jesus hadn't got here yet. They were looking forward to the Lamb. You and I are looking backwards to the Lamb that came at Calvary that day. Amen. The Lamb of God. Then the Bible said the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of the great day. Beloved, I want to say this. Men of God, well, let me just say this. People that are standing in pulpits across America and never mention the judgment that's coming. I'm telling you, they're not pulling, they're pushing. How many believes I'm telling it right there? Never mention that there's a hell to shun. There's an eternal fire that's waiting for those, beloved. They'll preach, oh, God is a God of love. Yes, he is. But I'll tell you something right now. If you'll read this Bible, You'll find out he's a God of wrath. You'll find out he's angry with the wicked every day. You and I tonight that are sitting here saved by the grace of God or to tremble, to think that he got a hold of us before hell did. That he got a hold of us before the flames of hell were licking at you and me. Lucifer, if you read it in the book of Ezekiel, he got that big eye disease. I will exalt my throne. And he got that big eye. And beloved, I'm going to say this. There's a lot of things not only in the world, but a lot of things in the church world that are being built on the big eye that's awaiting the judgment that's coming. Say amen. Amen. Beloved, the church is not a place to lift us up. The church is a place to lift him up. The church is a place to praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. And tonight we pull by remembering. We push by forgetting. The Bible said here, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. Beloved, it's gotten so bad now that there are those, I'm talking about in America, not in a third world darkened country, that believe it's all right for a sodomite to stand in the pulpit and preach the word of God. You know what's happened? Beloved, somebody forgot what God said. Somebody forgot what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a lot of people, it's amazing to me how you'd want to believe any of the Bible and not believe all of the Bible. I got more respect for a man or a woman that would say to me, preacher, take that Bible and do whatever you want to with it. I don't believe a word of it. I got more respect for that person than somebody, some sodomite that's standing in a pulpit trying to tell people that God loves them when they won't read what God said about sodomy, what God said about adultery, what God said about drunkenness, what God said about lying, what God said about stealing. I'm telling you, God's not changed his mind about sin, and there's a judgment day coming. You know when we're pulling our best? When we remember that. There's a judgment day coming. What if, Brother Steve, everybody we come in contact with this way? What if everybody we spoke to, everybody we shook hands with, everybody that took our groceries across the counter and scanned them in, what if every time we went and got some medicine, or every time we stopped and got gas, or went in a place of fast food or a restaurant, what if every time we looked in somebody's eyes, we remembered that person's going to live forever somewhere? Actually, if you want to get technical about it, they're either going to live forever or they're going to die forever. But they're going to be somewhere forever. I tell you what I believe it would do if we just remembered there's a judgment day coming. I believe it would cause us to get more in the pulling business. How many believe that? I don't know about you. What I find in my life, sometimes I'm too busy to pull. I'm at point A, but my mind and my heart's already at point B. And I'm at point B, and my mind and my heart's already at point C. How many knows what I'm talking about? A schedule. I'm talking about a day. And sometimes we're too busy to remember that God left us here for a reason, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Beloved friend, tonight, the word of God said here, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. You know, just read what God says about that mess. He said it's strange. It's against nature. Say amen. And yet people are going to come along. No wonder they want to write a Bible that doesn't have gender in it. No wonder they want to write a Bible that skips over things like this tonight. But I believe with all of my heart, when we're remembering what God said, we're pulling. When we're forgetting what God said, we're pushing. How many believe in telling it right tonight? The fire. Pulling them in. Amen. Pulling them out of the fire into the sheepfold. Or pushing them out of the sheepfold. into the fire. It's a responsibility that you and I have tonight to be light. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's a responsibility that we have tonight to be salt. Salt is a preservative. I personally believe one of the reasons that judgment's not already fallen on America, and to a degree it is. You know what I mean. There's more judgment coming. You can mark that down. And it ain't just coming on San Francisco. That's how it all kind of got started out. But honey, it's rampant in the land. Johnson City, I think, is one of the capitals in Tennessee of that mess. Are you listening to me tonight? Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Let's pull them out of the fire as best we can. Going after strange flesh are set forth for an example. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also he said, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. I'll just say this tonight in closing. For years, I've tried to make it a practice to thank the veterans. When I see somebody wearing a veteran's hat, somebody's got a veteran's tag on their vehicle or a bumper sticker that says Vietnam veteran or Korean War veteran or World War II veteran, to thank the veterans. I want to encourage the Church of the Living God tonight, not only to thank the veterans, I don't want to make anything littler or smaller of that, but I want you to thank the police officers when you see them. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't believe we need them, you just live lawless for about a week and see what you got. I appreciate God giving us the law, and I appreciate God giving us men that would stand up and women that would stand up for what's right. I believe we ought to be praying for the border security agents. Amen. I really do. And I believe somebody in Washington ought to listen to them. And just set them down and let them tell us what they need. They're there every day. And I think that's what's trying to go on, but some won't hear it. But I'll tell you this tonight. Judgment's coming. God's saying to us tonight, don't forget it. Remember it. If you'll remember that judgment's coming, you'll be wanting to pull somebody out of the fire. I thank you for coming tonight. I pray God has done something in our hearts tonight. Just help us this week that we might just want to be an influence in somebody else's life. We're going to be an influence. Be a good influence, a positive influence. And thank God for that tonight.